He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
sacrament of holy baptism, we have been raised with Christ to new life.
We have been given a new birth of water and of the Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall their grazing land, shall be their grazing land. And they shall lie down in good grazing land. And on the rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to who judges justly. He himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus.
the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yes, and the one who is risen is the Good Shepherd. Good because he cares for his sheep more than he cares for anything else. Good because he is not a hired hand, but a loving shepherd who guides and protects his sheep. Good because he lays down his life for the sheep. He gets between the wolf and the sheep and allows himself to be devoured by the wolf that his sheep may live. Good, because he takes his life back up again on the third day to ensure that the door to the green pastures of his everlasting kingdom remains open for his sheep. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He knows his sheep, for he seeks them out and gathers them into his fold. He chooses them and brings them through the gate into his kingdom. He brings them out from all the peoples and gathers them from all the countries. And he brings them so that he may feed them and sustain them with eternal food, with himself, the bread of life, on his holy mountain, in his holy church. He finds the lost, brings back the strays, binds up the injured, and strengthens the weak. His sheep want for nothing. For he makes them lie down in green pastures, the green pastures of his kingdom, bringing them into this good grazing land through the still waters of the baptismal font. He restores their souls and leads them in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though his sheep must walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they shall fear no evil, for he is with them, his rod and his staff comfort them. He even prepares a table before them in the presence of their enemies and anoints their head with oil. Their cup overflows. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow his sheep all the days of their lives, and they shall dwell in the house of their good shepherd forever. Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. They recognize his voice. They listen to him. They flock together where his voice can be heard. They follow their good shepherd. But we, his sheep, still reside in the valley of the shadow of death. And on this side of glory, our faith lives right alongside of doubt. And the devil doesn't need to plant it in us. He just needs to water it. So when we hear, "My sheep know my voice, they follow me," it doesn't take much to get us thinking, "Do I really know his voice? Am I really following him?" And doubt wants proof. And where does doubt direct us? It directs us to our lives for proof. It says, if you really know and love Jesus, you will do what he commands, for he says that they will know you, that you are his, by your love. But how much have we done? How have we lived? Can we be recognized in this world, distinct from the rest of the world, by our love? Does the world listen to what we say and see what we do and conclude, they surely belong to the Good Shepherd? It's obvious that they are Christians. Not so much. Repent. You have not been good enough. Your life does not show your faith so much as it shows your sin. The world does not look at you and exclaim, "My, what a wonderful, generous, kind, and loving person. That one must be a faithful sheep of the Good Shepherd, Jesus." We are people of unclean lips. We sin daily and much. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We do not look all that different from those outside of the Good Shepherd's flock. So repent, but then tell doubt to shut up. Because Jesus is our Good Shepherd. What you have failed to do, he does in your place. He keeps the law perfectly and never sins. No deceit is ever found in his mouth. And he lays down his life for you, his sheep. He pays for your sins, all of them, even your poor witness to this sinful world, even your doubts. He ransoms you away from the law. He has met his Father's wrath, satisfied justice on your behalf. And so there is no one left to accuse you. You are righteous and perfect because he has declared you to be so. He has substituted his life for yours. He gives you his righteousness and perfection even as he takes on your sinfulness and imperfection. And he has risen from the dead for your justification. He is the good shepherd. He didn't only defeat death by death, but he also rose again to usher you into the green pastures of heaven to bring you home, to fulfill his promise that he will come back to take you to be where he is. For he loves you, and he has given you ears to know and listen to his voice, which fills your ears, not with pious platitudes about how you can prove your love and quench your doubt through your own efforts, but with the exhortation to repent and trust in him alone. He is not your life coach. He is not your cheerleader. He is your Savior, your good shepherd. This seems strange to us, but doubt is actually evidence of faith. Your doubts are the pinpricks of conscience. As your faith in Christ grows, you become ever more aware of your sins and the weakness of your faith. You never doubt the false gods. You never doubt Zeus. You aren't worried about whether or not he is pleased with you or even whether or not he is real. Why not? Because you know he is not real. You do not believe in him. Your doubts about our Lord are evidence that faith is living and fighting in you. In a sense, you doubt him and his word only because you believe in him. Doubt is the evidence that you are engaging the enemy within yourself, the old Adam, your sinful nature. If you were not engaging that enemy, you would not care and you would not worry, for you would not feel the guilt of your sinfulness. And if this is hard for lay people to hear, it is torture for pastors. No faithful pastor in Christendom can hear our Lord's words about hired hands and not squirm. For all fallen human pastors have counted the cost. We have all considered how we might repackage the message of the gospel to make it more appealing to people. We have all wasted huge amounts of mental energy in vain attempts to figure out how to be more successful and how to get the people to like us more. We have all wondered what we might do differently to get a few more butts in the pews. But life in this church militant lives with this great mystery. Our Lord, the Good Shepherd, delivers his gifts through earthen vessels, even cracked, broken, sinful earthen vessels. For we hear the shepherd's voice out of the same sinful mouth that gossips and slanders, brags and curses. We are instructed and admonished by imperfect persons, by sinners. Every faithful pastor knows that he is a phony, that he is a hypocrite of sorts, because he does not live up to his own preaching. He has not kept his vows. He is not knowable in this world by his great love. He desires approval and loves the praises of men. Even if you are kind enough to love me, your pastor, the world doesn't notice me. My love, my works do not impress them. Yet, we make our pastors promise to be faithful, to teach the truth, to uphold the gospel in their lives and conduct. But what is the point of that? Sinners always, always break their promises. Why do we require them to make vows we know they will not keep? Because we want them to know when they've broken them. We want them pretending as though it was, we don't want them pretending as though it was okay to break them, or normal to break them, or acceptable to break them. And we certainly don't want them pretending that they didn't realize what was required of them. Instead, we want to drive home the point that this holy office that is Christ's, which they occupy, can only continue by grace, by supernatural intervention, that it is not affected by the will of men, but by the promises of God. But, O sheep, this doesn't just apply to clergy. You have all made promises, solemn vows, which you haven't kept. You have promised to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from the faith. Imagine that. You've made huge, impossible promises at baptism, at confirmation, at your weddings, and at the baptisms of your children. This hired hand bit applies in the first place to pastors, to be sure, but it doesn't stop there. When the wolf comes, hired hands also run away, not just from flocks that they're called to minister to, but from their wives, their children, and their neighbors. So you can join me in my squirming. But again, why the vows? Why do we make promises? Why do we make sure that everyone has to make promises when we know that you will fail? It is so that you would be without excuse, so that you cannot plead ignorance, and that you would know that your faith and your family, like unto your church and the ministry, exist and continue only by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, so that you would receive them not as something that you think you own and possess, but something that is given to you purely as a gift. Our vows are more a confession than they are a promise. We confess what is good, what is right, and then we invoke the help of God and His promises to sustain us. Without grace, dear friends, that is, without the undeserved favor and love of God in Christ, every single one of us would be doomed. But thankfully, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we know that we do have the grace of God. For Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He has laid down His life for us. The promises of God are not about good sheep, but about the Good Shepherd. The promises of God are not about you keeping your vows, you living perfect, glorified lives, but about the Good Shepherd who is faithful and steadfast, who has made promises that He cannot break, who cleanses and purifies us in Himself. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, not even your sins, your failures, your imperfect faith, or your broken vows and doubts. For this is not your promise to keep. It is His. He has placed His promise upon you, baptized you into His name and promise. He has pronounced His will for you. He would have you be a part of His flock and bring you to heaven. He has declared your future in His resurrection. Death has no claim upon you. Hell has no way to hold you in. For you are His beloved flock, clean and pure by grace, loved by Him without exception or condition, according to His will and His word. He laid down His life for the sins of all men, even for you, and you are reconciled, and His peace is for you. And so, you hear His voice, and you love it, for you love Him. You are His sheep, and your desire is to be with your Good Shepherd. Even in the midst of your doubts, your struggles against this fallen flesh, you love Jesus. For he has loved you despite your doubts and rebellions, your selfishness and greed, despite your sins. As it is written, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And we see a glimpse of our good shepherd's love for us and the love of our mothers who we honor this day. The bond between a mother and her children is a bond that is nearly impenetrable. Mothers love their children no matter how far their children stray. Mothers are there to welcome their children back into their loving embrace no matter how far their children have fallen. But as strong as the bond and as deep as the love is that mothers have for their children, it is only but a glimpse of the love our good shepherd has for us. For it is possible, however unlikely, that mothers in this vale of tears, sinners that they are, could turn their backs on their children and forsake them. It is even possible, unbelievable as it seems, for mothers to desire not to have children and to abort them, as we know all too well in our own country. But not so with our good shepherd. His love is unconditional. He stops at nothing to gather his flock into his fold. He suffers all, even death on a cross, to gain for you who do not deserve it forgiveness, love, and salvation. And you, his sheep, rejoice in the forgiveness he won for you. You bask in the bliss of the grace of God, known only through the sending of Jesus, your good shepherd, to live and die and rise again for you. You've known the joy of his salvific work because you've known all too well your doubts and your failures, your sins. You know that if your salvation is dependent upon your faithfulness, your love, your works, you are doomed. And so you hear the good shepherd's voice that declares to you that your salvation is not dependent upon your efforts, but upon his faithfulness, his love, his works. Thus does your good shepherd continue to meet you here, gather you into his holy mountain, his church, in faithfulness, in love, to do the work that he desires to do for you. He invites you here this day to feed you with the bread of life, the very body and blood that is his, to strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith, to wash you anew in the blood he poured out for your sins on the cross, the blood that binds up and heals all of your wounds. For he is your good shepherd, dear friends, and you shall not want. Your cup overflows. For your good shepherd, your Jesus, your Savior, lays down his life for you, his sheep, but takes it back up again that he might care for you until he returns in great glory on the last day. And he has the power to do so, to reign over heaven and earth, over all things. For he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Everlasting Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sent your Son into the world to suffer, die, and rise again for our salvation. And he, the Good Shepherd, sends his ministers, his under-shepherds, into the world to proclaim peace with you. Bless all pastors in Christ, especially Matthew, our synodical president, David, our district president, Paul, our circuit counselor, and Thomas, our pastor, that they may bring Christ's living word to us, that they may be diligent in their study and prayers, faithful in preaching and teaching, upright in their daily lives, and compassionate in their service. Give strength, encouragement, and support through your faithful people to all missionary endeavors faithful to your word, and desire to uphold the faithful and reach the lost, including issues, etc., the Siberian Lutheran Mission Society, Lutherans in Africa, Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Grant to your faithful people, the flock of Christ's redemption, your Holy Spirit, that they may honor and respect their pastors. You give them hope in the word that the pastors you send them declare. Let them respect them and hear and receive the blessed word and sacrament of Christ in peace, joy, faithfulness, and thanksgiving, and support those who send out with the who you send out with the gospel of Christ throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, governor of all things in heaven and on earth, you establish civil government as your instrument of order and justice, and install in office those who lead our land and communities. Aid and direct the President and Congress of our nation, the governor and legislature of our state, our mayor and other local public officials, that they may perform the work you have given them according to your will, that our citizens may be served in justice and equity, and be with the men and women who serve in our military, especially Matt Boffman, Stephanie Bridges, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, April Rouser, and Dan Whitkin, that they may serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Compassionate Lord Jesus, in the days of your earthly ministry, you healed many who suffered from various illnesses and infirmities. Give your merciful aid to all who suffer from bodily afflictions, including those affected by all of the recent destructive storms and floods that have overtaken many parts of our land, and especially all those who have requested our prayers, including Ralph Bolt, Joan Burke, Connie Cook, Marion Greening, Georgia Spindler, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Bruce Bebo, Ella Shaw, Dorothy Weiser, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Eric Lovejoy, Jessica Updegraff, Scott McCullum, Joan Martins, Connie Glazer, Charles Shaw, Christy Truesdell, Margaret Doobie, Maxine Cole, the family of Mary Gerard, and Joyce Kohler. Support them in their present trial, increase their faith and trust in you under their crosses, and grant them healing and health, or release them from their suffering according to your good and gracious will. Be also with those whom you call upon to assist those in great need, including LCMS World Relief and Human Care, and move your people to give prayerfully, compassionately, and generously to the relief and recovery efforts that they ensue. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious Lord, by your great humility, you endured the bitter pangs of the cross and thereby won forgiveness, life, and salvation for us all. Grant us your aid that all false pride of life and exaltation of self may be sifted from us, and that we may be filled with true humility after your likeness, that we may be glad to receive your gifts of grace, that we may bear our crosses with patience, that we may serve our neighbor in meekness, that we may be gently led in the way that leads to everlasting life. And especially on this day, we implore your blessings upon all mothers and ask that you would fill us with the responsibility and the love to honor and cherish them as your commandment commands. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Into your hands, O Lord, we entrust all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your crucified and risen Son, our gracious Lord and Good Shepherd, the Good Shepherd and Overseer of our souls, who gave himself for us that we may live in him, and who now reigns and lives with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
At this time, I would invite all the mothers in our congregation to come forward for a prayer and a blessing. First, let us pray. Heavenly Father, a few moments ago we petitioned you on behalf of all mothers. Now we place the mothers in our midst before your gracious throne and beseech you on their behalf. As a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth, and grant that their children may love and honor them always, not just on Mother's Day, with a spirit of profound respect. Give them joy this day, O God, which we have set aside in our calendar year to remember and honor them. And may the love, honor, and respect their children show them on this day be a reflection of the love you have shown for them and for all your children. Grant this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Dearest mothers, the blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be and remain with you always. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy.
Accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of Christ given for you.
The true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The very body of Christ given for you. Give the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. Amen. Pray the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life.
body of Christ given for you.
body and blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your good shepherd, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. Gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.